Hello, and you are listening to I'm a Diva podcast, a podcast dedicated to promoting our female creatives in the music industry. So if you are any form of creator, a dedicated participant in the music industry, then we are here to promote you, to share your story, to share your challenges, and to grow together and to have some fun along the way and learn a thing or two. You are listening to I'm a Diva podcast. I'm a GV. I'm a female rapper in the music industry, going to develop my career and facing challenges and noticing how females are underrepresented. This is why I decided to create this podcast for all of you to listen to and to promote our wonderful females and to be able to connect with others and learn from each other. So I welcome you to I'm a Diva podcast. Hello, and you're listening to I'm a Diva podcast. This is your talk show host, Edgy V, and we are finally back with season 4, 2022. Hello, baby. So this is episode 1, and today we have the pleasure of talking to Kit Kat. So Kit Kat is an LA-based rising executive, an artist manager empowered by diverse creative experiences. While pursuing a vocal performance degree at Chapman University, Kit Kat simultaneously coordinated 3 tours for independent artists and prepared PR for Clarion Call Media. A strong advocate for diversity, equity, and inclusion, Kit Kat concluded her academic career building DEI teams within Tri-Delta and co-founded Musicians of Color Association, striving to establish equitable grounds for classical artists. In January 2021, Kit Kat joined Finesse Media as an event coordination intern. Now she shares her knowledge of the music industry as a general manager to elevate the Finesse Media team, coordinate educational events, progress artists' visions, and ultimately create a global network artists and music professionals. So we really wanted to have something really amazing. And, you know, I decided to have Kit Kat on the show for opening season 4. I just thought she's done so much with herself in the music industry.
Thank you.
And I think she brings a lot to the table. So I welcome you today, Kit Kat. How are you?
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. It's so, so incredible to be on. I love all of the I'm a Divas. So it's an honor to be on here with you.
We're very, very, very happy to have you. So I'd like to start, like, I remember myself and Kit Kat, we recently had a quick little chit chat and connected over the beauty of Instagram, connecting so many people all over the world. And I was just like blown away by all of the stuff that we really found common ground on. So maybe it'd be good to kind of open up where your music journey began and how you found yourself doing like all the diversity, equity, and inclusion work. And, you know, how did you find yourself in these kind of areas? Was it something that you experienced? Like, can we just kind of start there and unpack it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started off actually singing, and I know that that's a common ground between us. I started off singing pop and rock and then transitioned into classical music and have performed at places like Carnegie Hall multiple times. I performed at the Sydney Opera House, and I decided that I wanted to continue my education in the classical training side of things. That said, going into university, I was like, oh, I do not want to be an opera star. That is not at all where I want to go. So what is it exactly that I'm looking for in this creative and business experience? And that was my first real taste of the music industry. I started off just going into classes that would open up opportunities to learn about different roles. So my first real glance into it was through music supervision. And in 2019, you talked about it, but in 2019, that was when I finally got 2 gigs going into the music industry. And that was working with an independent artist. I coordinated 3 of her tours and was simultaneously doing PR in a little like punk rock PR agency. And all of this combined, going into the DEI stuff, I knew that there weren't many spaces for women of color, any sort of marginalized folks. I mean, we talk about, you know, disabled folks that can't access music the same way, or who belongs on the table? Why does the table exist as it does? And so being within the classical music realm, plus going into the music industry, I saw that common ground. And it just so happened that a few friends and I, and this was around early stages of the pandemic, but we sat down on Zoom and we started chatting about what we wanted differently. Then we actively made strides towards it. And that was when I created Musicians of Color Association with a few of my friends. That was when I actually applied for Finesse media led by women of color and got accepted, it just seemed that these values that I share about what the music industry could be were finally really present in my life. And I could actually help create that shift with this incredible group of people.
Wow. The undertones that I really hear there is like the Finesse Media, like already, if anybody hasn't heard about Finesse Media, you know, it's just such a great platform. And I remember I was a part of the video production seminar where it was just like, you guys were like, had many different team members. And I was just like, there was just none of that kind of stuff undertone of, oh, these are females, like female videographers, like running like incredibly massive budgets on music videos, working with the biggest like names in the industry. And there was just none of that at all. And I didn't get any of that sense. And I think the undertone there is that don't settle for environments that you know don't fit you at all. And that there are environments there for you that you can thrive and grow in the music industry. It's just you need to find them. And sounds like you have.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're not finding it, create it. You know, I mean, we've had this conversation before, Edgy, where we talked about, well, why do we need to make a seat in the table when we can flip it and completely create a new system? And at Finesse Media specifically, we're a global music media company led by women and non-binary folks of color. And I think one common value that we share in creating this space is not only do we want to make it accessible to everyone, we also want that to be normalized. Like, it should be normal for women to be in the room and for them to be leading huge budgets. It should be normal for, you know, I've also hosted a disabled advocacy event with Finesse Media. It should be normal to have these conversations about, you know, ableism and how we can contribute to a better, more accessible space in the music industry. And so going back to what you're saying, not only find it, but again, if you're not finding it and you're not finding what you want, then create it, because you have everything that you need in you to do that.
Yeah. I really love all of the different kind of categories you touched upon in like a very short space of time of really like appreciate that. And it just goes to show how much a person is able to kind of cover those grounds in such a quick, like nearly like you have this like little mini diversity elevator pitch that you just kind of me right now. And I was like, it just covered it all right there. And then, and when it all comes down to the nitty gritty, it's all really simple. It's just creating an inclusive environment where people can express themselves who they are. Now, let's touch upon, I remember last time we also spoke, before you arrived to all of like becoming, doing some tour managing and becoming an intern at Finesse Media and all this, you've also, remember, you write poetry. There's some poetry writing there, and how somebody helped you come to the conclusion that they in fact can be sung. So I'll talk a little bit about that before we move forward to what's going on now. I really want everybody to get a good sense of all the different colors of your progression, that kind of what took you to arrive to where you are.
Yeah, of course. So I want to say about at the age of 15, so I'd been doing classical music for about 5 years, I actually went into musical theater and realized none of these styles really matched my love for pop and indie music. And I wanted to really get back into that. So I had a friend who was in musical theater with me who was like, hey, I have this awesome person that I want to connect you with. And that person is Tammy Deckel, who has been my mentor since I was 16 years old. And it started off with me saying, hey, I'm in classical music, I do musical theater, and I really want to just continue singing pop. I want to say like 3 or 4 lessons, getting really into things and progressing those techniques and whatnot, getting very technical with it. I had shared a notebook of poetry. It was like this hot pink Betty Johnson. I've had it for years. It was crazy. But she was like, bring that over. So one day I brought the notebook. She saw maybe like 2 lines. And those were all things that I had then recorded, had like a nice melody, or maybe I had the melody and just needed to write down a lyric, whatever it might have been. But at that time, I just saw it as, these are cool thoughts, and I'm putting them in a space where they can just exist. And that time she said, well, don't you think that you can create a song out of this, or even multiple songs out of all of this? And it was the first time that that really sparked for me, that not only was I creating poetry and melodies and whatnot, but I could translate that into full songs. And one of my personal favorite things is sitting on, I have this old piano, super out of tune, but it means so much to me because that's where my creative juices flow the best. And so I remember after that conversation, sitting on the piano, and within 2 hours, I came up with 2 songs from all of that. That really reignited my passion for, even if I'm going into classical music and continuing that, I can also continue my passions with pop and explore what that means in the music industry. So I thought for a while I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to sing, and I love that. I love all our artists, and it just wasn't my goal at that time, and that's okay. So that was when I started to really delve into the business side of things and started to click, I can do all of this. There is room for me to be a writer, a singer, and a badass businesswoman as well.
What really sounds beautiful to me about all of that is just gonna like gently, like a tiny little bit, jump into my connection that I have in the fact that I've done some music production, I've done like digital marketing and kind of like just kind of upskilled myself in different areas. And do I see myself actually producing music? I don't know, not really. I don't know if I clicked with it that way, but I got a good sense of arranging songs and what way, like where do I want to head with it, or even just communicate with producers what I want to do with my like mixing styles, and you know, giving them reference is able to break it down in their language they understand. And what I'm getting from this is that it helps you to be an even better like tour manager, or whichever direction you end up heading, like, which obviously this, this is the next part that we're going to get into for our listeners, which is like, you know, the kind of stage that you're in now that you feel like you're getting pulled towards. But in order to be good at what you do and where you are now, it helps you to be able to connect with musicians in such a way that very few who have that same background would be able to have that capacity to have that relationship, to be able to nurture an artist in such a, in a much more healthy manner. I would like to use that kind of tone in today's kind of like kind of climate of like music industry, in the way like a manager has like no musical background, how to nurture creative talent in a way that it's going to actually open them up even more and get them going even more. And it's like, have that sort of relationship and understand where they're coming from, or sometimes pick it up before they do, and that kind of thing. So you've mentioned about where you have arrived to and what you're kind of leaning towards is in A&R.
So let's
talk about that. So you've officially arrived to some sort of kind of sense. You're like, ooh, I really feel good in this space. I feel like this is it. Like, so let's talk about arriving to this place and kind of like, wow, finding yourself and what gave you that, inner nudge to realize this is exactly where I need to be, where I need to be right now. What was the thing that communicated that to you?
Yeah. So I, like I said, have a creative background, and even outside of music, I loved doing film and stuff like that. So I think a great thing that you touched on last time is that you can become multifaceted within this industry. Like, those skill sets are so necessary in any sort of capacity, in any sort of role. And when I was hired on as an artist manager for Elsie, who ELSY, I first resonated with her and her vision. She has such a beautiful vision of what her music is, and it's very cinematic and it has a story. And I resonated with that the most because that's how I envision music too. When I'm sitting down at that piano that I was talking about, I see pictures, I see films, and it helps tell that story more. It helps connect me with that more. And I really saw that in her. And as we've been building her career as an artist, I realized the parts that I enjoyed the most were really the hats that A&R wear, which a lot of which coincides with artist management when you're first starting off and you're working with an independent artist and you're really building and developing them, right? That said, now that I've really seen, okay, I know the business side, I know the management side versus the A&R side, finding producers, finding songwriters, being that bridge, finding, you know, videographers even. I really loved that I could pursue the creative side and be that bridge for the creative side while still knowing the background of the business. And so my love, or at least my desire to really explore this even further, stemmed from artist management and me saying, hey, I've done tour management, I've done PR, I've done artist management, and this has all paved to this road where I'm like, this is what I wanted. A&R, the roles, what it includes, that is what I'm seeking in the long run. And with the vastness of the music industry, it can be difficult to understand that, right? I mean, just a little bit more context to my history. I thought I wanted to be a tour manager. I thought I wanted to do that globally. And there's still so much passion for being that person and for being the person to bridge musicians internationally and get people excited globally, right? And if I really go into it and I know I want to hone in on the creative side and, you know, have the elements of the business that I need, A&R tends to fit that mold. And that all comes from me just finally experiencing things. I didn't know what A&R was when I started off as a tour manager. I didn't know what I could do as an artist manager when I did PR, you know? So all of these experiences have just showed me the possibilities. And again, if you're not seeing what you want, then create that possibility. And I'm really grateful to be in a position where that's supported and that I can really nourish and learn about all of this all at once.
May I ask what has been like the timeline? Because I think it's the reason I'm asking is I think it's really important for people to hear that each kind of trajectory, especially in the music industry and just in life in general, can be so different. So when you when did you first start in kind of just in general involving yourself in music, in the music industry, music and classical, to where you are now? How long did it take to kind of arrive to where you are now and being aware of what you want to head towards?
Yes. So I started singing and like training with pop and rock in 2006. And then in 2010, that was when I went into classical music. In 2017, I want to say, that's when I started going to pop again and started writing my own music. And that was when I also got my first class looking into music supervision. 2019 was when I ended up doing the tour management and the PR.
Yeah.
2020 was when I coordinated Musicians of Color Association, when I found out about Finesse Media. Entering Finesse Media in 2021, I wanted to go into global tour management and was really set on that. And through my experiences in Finesse Media, it took me to artist management in July 2021 and general manager in August 2021. And today, literally 2 months ago, I had a conversation with a friend who knew about more about A&R and told me to explore it. So it's taken my entire life to understand what I want and why I want it. And even thinking about why I wanted to get back into pop, I think about the artists that I love. I am a very loud directioner. I loved One Direction growing up, and reading their album notes was really the start of me understanding the music industry. And that was in 2012.
Wow.
So even not knowing what the music industry was at that point, or not understanding it really, and delving into just those curiosities has led me all the way up to here.
Do you know, I don't know if how it is like for people listening to this particular part, but for me, like how many times have I bet myself over like again and again and like, how do you not figure this out yet? And it's the easiest thing to do in the music industry. And I think this is why I felt like the need to ask you this, because I think for anybody listening and even just for me, there's just such a big relief of kind of just trust the process. Like trust the process is what I'm getting from this whole thing, and just keep going. If like the music industry is where you want to be, but you're not really sure where you fit in, take your time to explore and have fun. Now I understand that, you know, different life situations, you know, don't give you that same freedom, especially when we're getting older, different types of pressure start to come kind of falling on top of you. I get that, but I would say take your time as much as you can to explore. If you have that ability, if you have the freedom, if you don't have the freedom, create the freedom, like you said. Absolutely love everything you said. Now the A&R part and the touring part, let me ask you this from your perspective, what you've kind of know from that area yourself. What do you think has been like the biggest mistake that you think tour managers or like A&R people do from your kind of experience that you think isn't being done right, and then what you think is being done right from your perspective. Yeah. And can you give us a little bit of a contrast?
Yes.
There?
So under tour management, I think this has been more and more of a growing conversation just in the climate and whatnot. But like I said, just accessibility for everyone to be involved. That's been a growing conversation I've had with a lot of folks. And so I think as a tour manager, one thing that I constantly neglected, and not even neglected, I didn't even know that I should have thought about this, was how can I make this experience the best for everyone? Artists, fans that are disabled, fans, you know, that, or like the people behind the scenes as well, you know? And like I said, we've been seeing so much more progress in that. Things like having ASL signers on stage to help share the music, and they really perform with it, right? Every conversation that we've had in the past 2 years where we couldn't really perform, you know, we couldn't have live events the same way we could have in the past, I think all of those conversations are going to become a lot more, it's going to be shown a lot cleaner. And I think people are going to see that the music industry can be accessible to everyone, and that there are strides being made in order to create that for everyone, to make the music experience for literally everyone.
Beautifully.
And in regards to A&R, I think, and the A&R that I've spoken with are on the older side, but I think there's this huge, how can I say this? So people either love social media or hate social media. Like, I very rarely had conversations where there's a middle ground in that. And I think A&R can continue benefiting from social media. Obviously, there are amazing people that do that. I mean, like, we talk about, like, Usher discovering Justin Bieber on YouTube. Like, who's this random kid? Right? I mean, many moons ago, but applicable to the whole social media game. And we see people like, who was it? Someone that I've been following on TikTok, Ty Verdes. Like, I started following him when he got 1,000 views per video. And now he's, I'm pretty sure, signed with Capitol Records. He's like, he's publishing an album, I believe, very soon. So there's a lot of cool stuff happening. And that was from TikTok, right? And so I think A&R can continue focusing on finding good music on these sort of platforms where musicians want to be found. I also think it's not as oversaturated as they make it sound. Like, good music is good music. There's a lot of really good music out there. And yes, there's also not a lot of great music as well. And that's fair. But I think by opening the door to social media being a powerful resource in that, then there's just more that you can explore. And so, yeah, I would just say utilizing the power of free resources to just gain and learn. And I mean, even thinking about this interview, right? I met Edgy through Zoom. Like, we are not at all in the same places. And it's lovely because we can connect in this way. I've listened to your podcast. I've listened to your music, you know, and that's all just been because of your social media. So I think it's a lot more powerful than not, and that there have to be boundaries when utilizing this tool and resource, whether it's for your mental health or just, like, you know, for your own time and whatnot. But with anything, there are pros and cons. And I think that there's a lot more pros in giving more people room to create and enjoy that process of creating, and for us as consumers to just listen and be excited by what we're listening to.
Yeah. Find that balance. Absolutely. With anything, you know, whether we indulge in food, sleep, you know, anything at all, spending too much time with one person, you know, it can all kind of sort of topple over. So life is a delicate dance. And I really, really like what you mentioned there, the kind of pros and cons. And I felt like, you know, you answered it really well, on top of, like, saying what can be done, but also in a way, like, I'm getting the communication of what can, you know, what's not being done and what can be taken more advantage. Really, really appreciate that. And I think you covered it really well. So this is going to be the part of the podcast, KitKat, that's called I'm a Diva 5 questions. So we've got 4 questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
I love the energy. Number one, yes. What should a diva motto be?
I think a diva motto should be, and this is personally mine, but I create what I want and I do that with kindness.
Love it.
I think a lot of people, I know I was called a diva when I was like 5, 6 years old. People were like, KK, you're a diva. And I was like, yeah, because I know what I want. I make it happen. And I do that with so much kindness in order to show that, like, I mean, you should be kind in general, but anyways, not the point. Long story short, you can have what you want and still be a cool person.
I love that. I love that. I feel like you're sort of tearing down that, like, you know, like when I think of like diva, sometimes I think of like bridezilla. Mm-hmm. So it's like that, that like connotation to it, you know, that like
yep.
person is like really nasty. And I feel like the diva like association can be much, mm-hmm. much nicer. And I like that you're sort of like reframing that, which is kind of what you're saying. The whole intention behind everything you've been doing is kind of reframing
yeah.
music industry. So I feel like that's what you're doing right now to the word diva. And I love it.
Yes.
So number two, what do you think mm-hmm. the ultimate diva meal is? Like, what would you, as the diva, like, what would be your ultimate diva meal that you're like, ooh.
Yes. Okay. So for context, I'm vegetarian. Lovely. And there is, okay. I can already taste it when I'm talking about it. So, so there's coconut calamari. Ooh. And so it's not real fish, but it's made out of coconut. And I think that is a great diva dish because when you dip it in, it's just like you get all of that. It makes you feel like you're being fed grapes. And I love that concept. So it's vegetarian friendly and you feel like a goddess. That's the diva meal.
Yes. I love the sound of that. Like anything with like coconut involved is like any of those recipes. It's a particular cuisine. I'm just trying to think, is it Asian more cuisines or... I'm trying to think, coconut is a really big ingredient, some of which cuisine dishes in my brain is like,
I'm trying
to work it back.
Yes. So Asian cuisine, definitely. This place that I'm thinking of in particular does all sorts of cuisine. So it could be inspired by Asian cuisine, but yes, coconut is very, like, it has to be a little bit more tropical. So
Yes. I think I've seen a prawn recipe with like coconut milk and or some make it, and I was like, oh my god, I need to try this. So like you actually reminded me, I'm gonna be doing something like that this week. I need to try
it
anyway. So number three, mm-hmm. what do you think the ultimate diva mindset is?
I think the ultimate diva mindset is I'm gonna continue doing what I'm doing, and I think that's a lot more minimalist than I would have made it before. But the reason why is because divas are constantly told, like, you're too bossy. Women, yeah. we're told to suppress that, right? And I think as a diva, it's like, no, unleash that. Continue going for what you want and know that people are just intimidated by that confidence. People are intimidated by that trajectory that you have for yourself. And that's not a reflection of you. If you're a diva, own it, because we love divas here.
We love divas. Come yes. to us, divas. We welcome you.
Please.
And like you said, well, bossiness is an art form, kind of like the whole thing about you saying, you know, you can go for what you want while still being a cool person and mm-hmm. kind person and considerate. You can be bossy and still be cool and still be considerate and, you know, and do it in a way. So it is an art form. And I think I'm not saying everybody exactly. does it right, you know, not particularly men or particularly women, but I'm saying it right. is an art form that is developed over the years and you need to continue kind of with it and kind of stick with it. But well said. Mm-hmm. Well said. I really like that. Number four, can you describe your ultimate diva statement you have made to date? It can be anything, anything that you think is in your regard that may, it could be a move mm-hmm. that you made in your life, in your professional career. It could be an outfit you wore to a very out of kind yes. of ordinary setting and made that statement. So whatever that means to you.
Absolutely. This comes from a conversation I had with a friend when I was like, I'm going places and I need to allow myself to go those places. I called it my personal renaissance, where I said, there's this transition that I'm making and I want that so badly. And I want to see that through. And I know that a part of me is being fulfilled in ways that I had no idea could be fulfilled, that personal renaissance was huge for me and still sticks with me sometimes.
Hands down, that word, powerful, personal renaissance. And I was like, straight away, I'm thinking either a cool name for Kit Kat's poetry book over there.
Yes.
or personal diary of like personal renaissance where Kit Kat takes us through her journey.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Ooh, you nailed it.
I love that. Oh,
we might have a little project going on then, Edgy.
Love that. Last question of I'm a Diva 5 questions. What's your diva reminder that reminds you that you're a diva? That thing, it could be something like, I don't know, it could be as small as taking your vitamins. As small as that, you'd be like, gives me that energy to feel like a diva. Yeah. It could be the smallest little thing. It could be the biggest thing. So whatever that means to you.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to say two things if that's cool.
Sure.
My low-key I'm a Diva reminder is meditation. It really centers me and it grounds my energy. And whenever I meditate and I do think very clearly, I'm like, I do got this. Let's do this. In bigger moments, and a moment that I shared with you is that moment where I was called bossy in a room with a man when I was doing one of my first contract negotiations as an artist manager. I said, we want this and this, and we need that edited in order to sign this. And he called me bossy, and I was like, I'm bossy for wanting the best for my artist. That's okay. And so going back to that moment and knowing that there are most likely going to be more of those moments, and that I know how to handle myself in those. And if I need to meditate and really own that again, then I will. It all works out, and I am a diva, and I'm proud.
I love that. Beautiful. And all I got from that is that, no, the part when you said making sure that everybody has the best experience, and if you're, you know, if you're representing the artist, you can't let all of these little things sort of get in the way of getting the best of the best for the artist who you're representing, because at the end of the day, you believe in them, which is why you chose to work with them. So you know, you have to kind of sort of show up in that power for them, because you kind of want to know you're bringing the best for them and for their experience. And for the person in front of you, you shouldn't let that get in the way of them thinking, oh, you're bossy, so somehow I'm going to fawn over it. So I think you said, which you didn't do, obviously. At the end, I bet you slept really well that night.
Oh, I did. Trust me. I bring that moment up when needed. I don't bring it up often, but every now and then I'm like, have I told you this story? This is one of those times.
I hope it inspires some diva listening out there. You know, honey, if you do this, you're going to sleep like a sleeping beauty tonight. You're going to sleep with a clear conscience.
You're going to wake up glowing. Yeah. I promise you.
You know, of course, doing your meditation in before bed and in the mornings. Don't forget.
Exactly. That included. Don't forget that step.
So let's move towards closing up the first episode of season 4. It was such a pleasure to have you on. Kit Kat, like, I feel like there are so many multifaceted layers to you, and not just as a professional in the music industry, but like as a person. And you really have sort of brought those components to who you are, as like the values that you kind of possess, into your professional field. And I think those two are very interconnected. Would you say that that's the kind of component that you felt has maintained your really strong, authentic relationships in the music industry? Do you think that's like the kind of keynote there?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I think a lot of my values are really community oriented. I realized this in early 2020 when I was reflecting on what I wanted more in the music industry and what I needed to do to get there more tangibly. And I realized that the values that I have are really just about including everyone, right? And because of that, I was really focused on building my community, nourishing them, and in turn, that nourishes me. And I think without that experience and without really defining that moment of that's what I wanted from the music industry, these steps that I've taken growing into Finesse Media and becoming an artist manager, going into general manager, even now exploring A&R, I don't think that I would have as good as a grasp without my people. And I will forever be grateful for the people that continuously come through. I'll be forever grateful for the people that just, you know, hop into my DMs and that I can connect with. Again, social media is so much more powerful, but it's only powerful when you're surrounded by a good company. And I think that as I've continued growing in the music industry, as I've continued developing my relationships in the music industry and networking, saying that I care about the individual in front of me and I want them to succeed and I want to push them in the direction that they want to be pushed as well, has always, it's always made me realize what the music industry could be. So
yeah. It's like we're having a little quiet moment. We were just like really appreciating the wholesomeness of it all.
Oh goodness, my heart.
I think the biggest thing I got out of it is just kind of realizing that the consistency of good relationships in an inconsistent industry, it really is that root to kind of
absolutely
be grounded and not be swayed, not just as an A&R, but like even when you think for myself, like as an artist, mm-hmm. you have those really like buzzing nights when you do a really good live show and you're just like feeling like on top of the world. You do have to realize, mm-hmm. although you can relish in that moment, it really is important to kind of not let it get the best of your ego and kind of realize that the big show is also the amazing people behind you with mm-hmm. other kind of developed skills in other areas to make it all that one big picture. So you know to exactly. remind yourself, appreciate, like you said, everybody around you, show thanks, show gratitude, show that everybody's effort has been kind of taken into account. So it's like, I love those things you said. I was like word for word. Any last words for anybody listening, or even like, even if you feel like, you know, the advice that you wish someone would have given you at the beginning of your journey, or what mm-hmm. would Kit Kat say to the little Kit Kat when she first started?
Yes.
Something, I don't know, something like that, if you want to leave it on that note.
Yeah, absolutely. I would tell my younger self, everything that you want is possible. You have the ability to create it, and it's really up to you and how you direct that. Know your resources, know your people, not only be grateful, but celebrate with them. Come in and want the best for each of them and know that in turn, you're also going to receive the best back.
You win some, you lose some, the reality is, but you have to, like you said, continue mm-hmm. to gravitate towards the people that appreciate you. And for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to disregard what you were saying there, but I was like,
oh no, you're good.
You know, we know the music industry is very colorful with people, but to make sure to realize that, continue kind of filtering that out, not to edit what you were saying, but I really, really loved talking to you today, Kit Kat. I really hope
our listeners
enjoyed our first episode back of season 4. I know it's been a long time finally releasing our first episode.
Yes.
Since 2021, and so grateful to have you on today. It was an absolute pleasure, and the Queen Kit Kat herself, I wish you all the best. Thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me. I appreciate you and this platform and your community, so thank you.
I continue to be in awe of you, Kit Kat, and I know you will continue to do things that will put me in awe.
thank you.
I'm a Diva podcast launched their Patreon account, so if you like what we do and want to support us, head over to our link and there will be some exclusive content for exclusive subscribers. So head over there now, and thank you so much for your support.